Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus Christ is speaking and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Once again, good morning. We're glad with your presence here this morning. We have a great number. And I must say, just speaking from a point of view standpoint, it speaks a lot about your character. It speaks a lot about how much you love the Lord that we serve that you're here this morning, especially with all the storms and the rain and the thunder, because that may make some people want to stay home. But I'm glad that you saw fit to be here, and I know for certain that God is happy that you're here as well. In my opinion, it doesn't matter, but His definitely does. Tonight, I want to invite you back at 5:30. As Brother David mentioned, our announcements, we'll worship God in a period of song. I look forward to this every month. Singing, of course, is one of the commandments of worship, and we're going to dedicate their service to that tonight. Hope you can make it back tonight at 5:30. This morning, we're going to talk about the precious invitation. I know what you're thinking, but Brother Justin, we offer the invitation every time we offer a lesson. Well, that's true. I make it a point to always extend the Lord's invitation. But this morning, I want us to examine what that invitation consists of. And then I want us to decide, are we going to accept? Or are we going to say, no, I'm good, thank you? Of course, keep in mind, accepting is the ideal situation. Here in our lesson text, of course, Jesus Christ is teaching. And these three verses here, no doubt, have brought comfort to hundreds and thousands of people throughout time since the Bible was written down for us. But Jesus Christ is talking, and that the invitation has come. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So he says, if you come to me, you're tired, you're worn down, you're fighting battles. He says, I have rest. There's no rest in the world but rest in Christ. Take my yoke upon you. We'll learn what a yoke is in a minute. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You will find rest unto your souls. Twice in two verses we see rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here in our lesson text, Jesus is talking to multitudes that are surrounding him. At this point in his earthly ministry, he almost couldn't go anywhere and people wouldn't be following him. He would often have to plan times to go away. He'd go up in the mountains. He'd go in the garden to get away. Sometimes he'd go out in the middle of the lake to get away. But oftentimes Jesus was preaching to multitudes. And these are people that are being oppressed by the government because they're Jews and the Romans are in control. And the Romans didn't really like the Jews and the Jews really didn't like the Romans. They just kind of tolerated each other. These are people who had money, but sometimes they needed more. These are people who their own peers would derade them and make fun of them. It was a time of political, moral, and social unrest. The world of the first century was a terrible place to be in some aspects. These people were laboring, and they worked a lot under the Romans, and they didn't get a lot in return. The Romans took heavy taxes from all their conquered people, which would have included these Jews they're talking to. So they worked a lot. The government took a lot, and they're left with a little. And the Jews were no exception. And the last straw was they were even being burdened by their religious leaders. Matthew 23 and 4 talks about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and even some of the chief priests and the elders. They were burdening the people by commanding things that God had not even commanded for them to do. But that aside, that's where we find our lesson text. We're going to talk about that precious invitation this morning. And there are a few things I want us to consider. First off, number one is some reasons for the invitation. Why would Jesus Christ even offer an invitation such as this have come unto me? Well, first off, man and God are separated. Let's look at the golden passage in Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, a passage that we quote a lot because we learn a lot from it. But man and God have been separated because if there's an invitation, note this, that it involves that something has been separated. There's an invitation to come back. Isaiah 59 and verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins, they have hid his face from you that he will not hear." So because of our iniquities, what's that sin? What's that transgression? What's that missing mark? Because of our iniquities, we have been separated from God. Thanks be to God in heaven that Jesus Christ reconciled us through obedience to him. But an invitation implies that there's been something separated. Man, God loved man so much, even in his sinful condition, the golden text of the New Testament, people say it's John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but will have everlasting life." Verse 17, "For God sent not his Son to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved." He's talking to Nicodemus there, but the passage we can still learn from, that God loved us so much that he sent his Son to die for us. But let's look in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. From time to time people ask me and they say, "Justin, what's your favorite Bible verse?" Well, it changes. But Romans 5:8 is usually at the top of the list. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God commended, God showed, God showed his love for us. We were sinners. Left and right, we were doing things against what God wanted us to do, and yet he had so much love upon us that he still sent Jesus Christ to die for us. That's why there's an invitation. Brethren, God is merciful. And God really wants everybody to be saved. Let's look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." Now, men in that passage means all of mankind. So he says God would that all of mankind would be saved. So then the question becomes, well, why doesn't God just save everybody? Well, then he wouldn't be God. Because God has given us this thing called free will. We have the option to choose whether we want to obey him or if we want to deny him. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 echoes those sentiments as well. "And brethren, man needs salvation, but man can't secure salvation unaided." Let's look in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Man needs salvation, but man can't buy his own salvation. Ephesians 2 and 11. "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ, you were sometimes, were afar off, were now made nigh or near by the blood of Christ." Paul's writing to Gentiles. He said, the Jews, those of the circumcision, called you the uncircumcised, and they wouldn't have anything to do with you. Verse 13, "But now in Christ you're brought near." Brethren, Jesus is meek and he's lowly. So that's the reason for the invitation. But secondly, if we go back to our lesson text, we see that the invitation was extended. The invitation was extended. Has there ever been any words like this before? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Has anybody ever really said that with the same meaning that Jesus Christ had said? Has anyone ever been repulsed by this invitation? Yeah, people turn him away all the time. Rather, the invitation is addressed to all who are labor and are heavy laden. If you think about it, you get an invitation in the mail, it's probably an invitation to a wedding or birthday party or a graduation or something like that, and it's usually addressed to Mr. and Mrs. Justin Reed. Will you accept or will you deny? Please send it back and let us know. It's addressed to Sarah and I. Well, here, the Lord's invitation, "Come all ye labor and and are heavy laden. Who's that? Us. It's everyone, because everyone is labor. Everyone labors, and from time to time, everyone becomes heavy laden. But I want you to think about those in Matthew chapter 11 that would have been following Jesus. We've got farmers. Boy, a farmer puts in a long day of work most of the year. There are some days where he can't go out and do it as much. He still puts in a good day's work. You have fishermen, because in that part of the world, most people ate fish. You have carpenters that are following after Christ, and a carpenter doesn't have an easy day's work ahead of him. And we could go on and on and on. These are people who know what it's like to put in a long day's work physically. What about the heavy laden? Well, labor is active. To be heavy laden is passive, and there are two classes of burdens. There's either the self-imposed burden of you brought on yourself, or there's the inevitable. But the vast majority of our burdens are self-imposed. It seems like in life, a lot of the things that bother us are things that we bring upon ourselves through things like worry, which Brother Brad read about in Matthew chapter 6 a little while ago. A lot of our burdens are self-imposed, and you know, Jesus must have been distressed by this fact that many people turn to their own religion, not to mention they claim that God's religion is a burden to them. Let's look at Acts chapter 15 for a moment. Because some people claim that worshiping God, it was just too much of a burden to bear, and it was too much to do, but they brought that upon themselves. Acts 15 and verse 10. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Once we get here to Acts chapter 15, they're saying that people were putting a yoke around God, and they were trying to make His worship be too burdensome. What is a yoke? We don't think about yokes too much, but if you ever go to Cracker Barrel, above every door of the almost 700 Cracker Barrels, there is a yoke, an oxen yoke. They make sure that's at every Cracker Barrel. And they have a stop sign and a horseshoe and a deer mounted above the fireplace. But back to the yoke. The yoke was a big, sturdy piece of wood that you would put normally two oxen, and they would go side by side to double the work, and then you would hitch a plow or a wagon or something behind that, and you would drive the mules or whatever animals were in the yoke forward. And you would have two working together producing one movement. Now, when Paul writes Corinthians, he talks about don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers or somebody that's of a different mindset. If two oxen, if oxen on the left, which this would be your left, and oxen on the right, if they both want to go opposite directions, they're going to go nowhere. You have to be unified. That's a yoke. Brethren, Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus addressing himself to the problem of sin, because sin is the problem. That's the invitation. Number three, there is a gift that is promised. A gift is promised. When you get an invitation in the mail, there's usually something in it for you. You can come see these people be married. You can come see this person graduate from high school or college or whatever. You can come to a birthday party, celebrate another year of somebody's life. You'll get cake out of that one. Guaranteed on that one. There's usually something in it for you, or else why would you go? Well, what is the gift in this one? Verse 28, I will give you rest. Verse 29, I will give you rest. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9, something that we all look forward to is rest. I like to rest from time to time. It doesn't happen often. But I like rest. Verse 9. Hebrews 4 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. We can rest, brethren. All great gifts are non-transferable, and this is definitely non-transferable. We can rest. What is it based upon? It's based upon a reconciliation to God. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Jesus Christ says, I'm not going to give you rest unless you come unto me. Let's see what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 and 7, we get this gift upon being reconciled to God. Paul says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, talking about taking vengeance on those that know not God. But look there, verses 6 and 7. We get rest when we're reconciled to God. Rest with us, verse 7. What does us mean? You're in Christ, with us, the other faithful. You get rest in Christ. Brethren, this is not, note this is not a rest from toil. It's not a rest from work, but it's a rest in toil or rest in work. What do I mean? We get rest when we work for God. When we come unto Jesus, when we obey Him through baptism, when we put on Christ, when we're a Christian, we work as a Christian, but we get rest as a Christian as well. So that is the gift. We get rest. Another thing I want us to consider, though, is when is the invitation to be accepted? When should you accept it? If you go back to opening your mailbox and you either have the wedding, the graduation, birthday, or whatever, it will say, so-and-so is graduating from college on this day, at this time, at this place. That's when you go, and then they say, oh, by the way, RSVP, which is a fancy French term, which simply means, let us know, please. Please let us know by a week before, 2 weeks before, so we can plan on you being there, so you can have a seat. When should we accept the Lord's invitation? Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. And I bet you know this one already, but let's answer it anyways. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation, which I have secured thee, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What does Paul write to those at Corinth? Now is the time to obey the gospel. Today is the day of salvation. One invitation song we sing says, tomorrow may be too late. But let's look again in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7. The inspired writer of Hebrews weighs in on this one. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as he said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. When do we need to accept the invitation? Today. Why not yesterday? Yesterday's gone. Why not tomorrow? We don't know if we get tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to accept the Lord's invitation. So that's when. And lastly this morning, how do people get to Christ? How do people get to Christ? What did he say back in Matthew 11? Come unto me, all ye who labor. So how do you get to Christ? Well, let's start in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45. John 6, 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day, as it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God, every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. So what's Jesus Christ say? How do you get to him? You have to go through the Father. How do you do that? Through reading his book. That's the Word of God. But it continues. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. 2 Corinthians 5. Actually, we'll start in verse 17 through 20. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead that ye be reconciled to God. So we need the words that Jesus said, John 6. We also need the teachings of those ambassadors. Who's that? Those are the apostles, the inspired writers of the first century that composed the 27 books of the New Testament. We need those words as well. And brethren, it all comes through the preaching of the gospel. Let's jump back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. 1 Corinthians 1, 21, the gospel has to be preached. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. The gospel has to be preached. If you're making notes, I'll give you a second scripture reference that we will not get a chance to read today, but it's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 41. And that's why, because it's a beautiful passage, but time will not permit us. But Acts chapter 2, 1 through 41, what is that? That's the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. Peter and all the other apostles are preaching. And what did they preach? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They preached the gospel. And that's how you get to Christ. I want us to go back as we close out to our lesson text in Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. Once again, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now notice he doesn't say you get off scot-free, and you don't have to do anything. He says, "I have a burden and I have a yoke, but it's little. It's light." What did we talk about this morning? The precious invitation. We've seen some reasons for this invitation. Man has been separated from God by sin. We've looked at the invitation itself. Come. Same invitation offered throughout the entire Bible. You think about John chapter 1 when they said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come and see." The book of Revelation, what did the bride of the Spirit say? Come. That's the invitation. We've looked at the gift that is promised. You can get rest. That's only found in Christ. We looked at when to accept the invitation, today. And lastly, we looked at how to get into Christ, and that's through baptism. The invitation is still extended. Will you come to Christ? If you've not obeyed the gospel, if you've not responded to the invitation the first time, you hear the gospel, it's already been preached, check. You believe that it's true, repent of your sins, make that public confession, and upon that confession you're baptized into Christ. When that watered grave, you come up a new creation. So we just read in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you have not done that, please listen to the invitation of the Savior. It's not my invitation. It's Christ. If you have done that, I want to encourage you to keep remaining faithful, but also want you to know that if you have stumbled, if you have strayed, if you have fallen away, His invitation is still there. And He'll be glad to take you back. Luke 15 paints a beautiful picture three different times of the rejoicing that happens when a soul comes back that has been gone astray. You don't have to be baptized again, but you do have to repent of those sins and then remain faithful unto death. We're about to offer the Lord's invitation. It is extended unto you. The choice is yours. Will you accept it or will you not? If we can help in any way at all,